Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
One to ten, how are you feeling?
I feel great. Outstanding. 10 out of 10.
I'm getting a hard six. Dude, we're moving. So, like, the house has to look a certain way, but we have four kids and we're living in it. It goes on the market tomorrow. And then we've been trying to buy another house. We may have bought a house half this size. So then we have to remodel that house while we're selling this house. So, yeah, shoot me right, my little wee-wee home.
You know, you can
don't tell anyone the size.
You can always not do that.
Yeah, Rich, it's a little too late for that big guy. That's why. Hey, I'll say this: I'm traveling for the next 3 months, so I'm not. I'll be in New York. What
was that?
No, I didn't say anything.
Love you, Lauren.
Love you, Lolo.
Love you guys.
Hey, mind your business. I'm doing stuff.
Oh my god, I love her. She is. Ooh,
you
the
almost
MVP.
Got in trouble.
Ooh, yeah, he tried. He tried.
I'm the principal. I don't get in trouble.
Oh god.
Shit. Yeah. Okay, this is how we're starting the episode.
I said,
okay?
There we go. Bitch.
I said, you want me to help remodel? I said, bitch.
I just love how you guys have to say that so silent because you know.
Oh, dude.
No, I'll always have her back. Okay, Panic at the TL put this on X today. Okay, I'm having a debate. If someone says they're going to show up around 7, but get there at 7:20, is that still considered around 7?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You get a 7:45.
7:45 is around 8.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What?
Yeah.
You get a 40-minute grace period?
I'm saying, are we using increments of time? If they said I'll be around 7, right? That means you could be there. You could be there at 6:50. You could be there at 7:20. That around 7. You might be running early. You might be running a little bit behind, but you'll be there around 7. If you show up 7:30 past, now that's a different story. You might want to shoot a text, might shoot a call. Around 7 is 6:45 to about 7:20.
It also depends on what city you're in, right? Because everything in LA takes 40 minutes to get to, where like everything in Portland is 20. So if I say I'll be there around 7, I'm figuring 7:20, 7:30, max.
Might as well just be there at 7:30 then.
Well, listen. Well,
it's a, when you say around, when you say yeah. around, you are giving a window of time, a window. When you could say I'll be there at 7 or yeah. I'll be there at 7:15, if you say there, I'll be there around 7, somewhere around this time, I will be there. That is the term.
That is so effed up. 7:20 is around 7 in your book?
Yes! Yes!
Cheating said a grace period of 40 minutes. You know
no,
what
no,
could
no.
be
I
accomplished
said, I said once
in 40
you get
minutes?
To 40, once you get to 40, that's late. I said set, but as long as it's before like 7:20, 7:25, now you're in the 7:30 range. Now you're in the 7:30 range.
Give me an example. Use it in a sentence. Use it in a sentence.
Like, yo, what time's the birthday party start? I'll be there. It starts at 7. All right, I'll be there around 7.
Oh.
If you show up at 7:20, the fuck?
Yeah. It's actually, I like when people are sectioned off. Then I get to say hello to them, and it's not a big rush of all the people. It's easier to talk to them.
Yeah.
What if it was your gathering that you were throwing and someone said that they'd be
What's
there
the
around
context?
7 and they show up at 7:20?
What's the context?
I don't care. It happens all
if
the time.
If all your boys are coming over to the house to watch a fight, if everybody's
We are not of the same family. Mm-mm.
You walk from house to house in Van Wert. Or you
okay,
ride
just...
your Bessie.
Why do you always have to dog on my hometown though, bro?
I just got to. It's in the
My family's starting to get offended.
No, they cannot.
Heavily insulted.
They should have thick skin after 8 years of me roasting their work.
Speaking of thick skin. Have you guys cooled off from our conversation, our debate last week?
Yeah, what else we got to talk about? I was right.
Man, first of all, for people that haven't been listening or are new listeners, me and him will do that at breakfast. Like about any topic, that's nothing new. Like we had done that a million times in person, and then went out and grabbed dinner and argued again about who was going to pay. Well, typically it was me, but
if you aren't aware of what we're talking about, just go listen to last week's episode. Really, the second half where these two decided to yell.
Do you know the meme where it says, "I knew I was wrong 15 minutes ago. I'm just trying to piss you off." Like, that's all he was doing. He knew he was wrong. He was just trying to pick.
I'm not wrong. He's not going to win. He should. Okay? So here's an example. Luka Doncic is having an MVP season. He's not top three right now because of his team.
Is it all because of his team? I'm not saying his statistics, but it's also we look at statistics and compare them to impact of winning, right? The impact of winning. That's where the statistics, where they really kind of hit you. So that's all. I agree. There's, every year there's five guys that are having MVP caliber seasons that given different years, Embiid would have won the MVP. He finished second, what, two or three times? So there's there was multiple years where he was having an MVP caliber season. When LeBron gets his ankle rolled on by Solomon Hill, there down. Like he was having an MVP caliber season, right? So it's no dispute that he's having from a statistical category a defensive player of the year type season. There's no question in that. The question is, should you give that to a player whose team is where they are and where they rank based off of, oh, well, the plus minus? We're not giving out awards because of plus minuses.
Yeah, I can't. Well, I was going to use Russell Westbrook, but then I was like, because their team was six, but he was averaging a triple-double. So I was like, you gotta, you know.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. We will agree to disagree. We will agree to disagree.
Okay.
Okay, so when it comes to we'll agree to disagree, do you have a topic that you want to discuss, Channing? In terms of pick a side, do you have one that you've been sitting on? Because I asked Rich this same thing, too. So if you have one.
So my two things are this, right? One, everyone, and I didn't know the full context, but like last game, Shai Gilgeous, SGA, right? He fouled and then got that KD record, right? I forgot what that situation was. But like, you know, you think of the guys who, what was Ricky? He played on the Cavs. He threw himself the ball off the backboard. Ricky Davis?
Yeah.
Right. So like,
was it most points of like 25 in a row?
Yeah, I think it was something like that. Right. So for me, those type of awards or, you know, people are like, well, Luka's just looking for his stats and he wanted this and he wanted that. And I was really like, do we forget that Devin Booker had 70 against the Boston team that shut down in the third quarter? Or like a lot of these crazy stats aren't in close games. Like maybe Donovan Mitchell's is the most points I've seen in a close game ever.
I agree. I think some of the best performances, LeBron had 50 in a finals game and a loss. Then Jordan had, was it 61 in a playoff game and a loss. So I think sometimes we talk about how big the numbers are and don't necessarily look at how they got there or the result.
And which is my point is, are you like, as a player, and now on this side, do you care that he's still looking for that extra point, that he's like, quote unquote, stat padding? Or are you like, man, do this on another game?
No. I don't mind.
There are actually some NBA player, current NBA players, that are not a fan of that.
No, there are.
There are many, but.
Understandably so. But I also remember boxing out so J. Kidd could get another rebound. I remember shooting a shot so J. Kidd could get his 10th assist, right? So, like, these are things that have gone on well past, like our generation of basketball. I don't think it's to the degree in which it's done today, but it's always happened. And even then, you still got to put in a shit ton of work for, you know what I'm saying? Is that stat padding? If you're like 25 or more for 15 straight games and you want that and you foul one time so you can get the 24th and 25th shot, I'm okay with that because you put in work for 2 straight months. I'm okay with doing that. The stat padding for some like little, and again, it's still stat padding, however you want to call it. I'm not disputing that, but I still believe that, you know, Russell Westbrook, how he got the MVP. There was some stat padding. Like, there were days he was the only one rebounding, right? And that's because his teammates wanted it for him, and he went and did the freaking work. There's no disrespect to what Russ has done. And then he proved it wasn't a one-year thing. It was multiple years. Dude, three, averaging double-digit rebounds. No, you know how ridiculous that is for multiple years? Like, that shit, that is mind-blowing. The motor you have to go 30-10-10, 25-10-10, what?
Steph Curry makes you believe you can do anything, and the Curry 11s are specifically designed with ultimate bounce, grip, and stability to allow everyone to do their thing. New generations of ball players are coming up and showing the basketball world that the old rules do not apply. The future is exciting, fast, positive, and hungry. This NBA season, rock with your favorite player and rep his shoes on and off the court. The Curry 11s are perfect for both committed and casual ballers. The UA Warp Tech makes the shoe feel like it was designed for your feet, locked in no matter what you do on the court. Stop in your tracks with dual density UA flow cushioning and traction. It's an emergency break you don't even notice. Steph's 11th signature shoe steps into the second decade of his sneaker career, pulling colorway inspiration from the wonders of a positive and modernized future on and off the court. Take these kicks with you when you leave the scrimmage and rep Under Armour wherever you go. Do your thing. Change the game. The Curry 11 Future Curry is available now at currybrand.com. Speaking of Donovan Mitchell, obviously you know and you've heard the latest surrounding him right now, correct?
Yeah.
And we've talked a lot about the 65-game mark. He's missed his 18th game now. Should he be penalized? Again, a idea spawned by the league's campaign against players resting while healthy enough to play.
Hey, he better listen. Number one, that's a lot of money. And he was having a killer year.
Top five NBA scoring average, career highs in rebounds and assists. You think of the leader, what he's done for a third. I mean, Rich, you're talking about impacting winning.
I love
third seeded Cavs. No, I'm backing up your point of like,
I love Mason Donovan Mitchell, his game. Love it.
This year, I thought he really stepped up.
Yeah, I think he's improving. I think he burst on the scene as a rookie and won a first-round playoffs series. So he's been on this and then was given the team and went to the playoffs every year. They culminated in the number one seed, but that team had kind of maxed out. And dude, 26, 27? Dude's been, I'm just saying it's like Donovan Mitchell still has a lot of room for growth. Very similar to like Jason Tatum. Just because Jason Tatum has been on the scene for so long. Yeah, doesn't mean that Jason Tatum doesn't have a bunch more to grow, right? And that's a compliment. It's scary if he can get 10% better in the next 5 years. That's scary for both of those players.
Yeah.
Can you make a case for it? How do you make a case for it? How do you make a case for it, too, in a situation when, obviously, you know where the Cavs are, the position that they're in with the postseason, and how valued the postseason is?
Oh, you just give it to them. No, when I say this is that you just say, hey, look, I'm trying to win. I'm trying to make a playoff run. Right? He knew the day was coming. He knew.
So then he just accepts the fact that he is ineligible now for NBA honors and any kind of award?
They signed it. And let's be honest, for every year that we were talking shit about Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and AD, those dudes have been healthy and putting out crazy numbers, and they've done what they've had to do. And certain guys it's just going to happen every year. It's going to be a new conversation of Joel Embiid was in the MVP and then changes his name.
They're going to change it. They're going to change it because now you look at Joel Embiid. You know, you don't know how long Karl Anthony Towson's going to miss.
Oh man, yeah.
You don't know like Donovan Mitchell. And again, we still have time left to go in this season where there's still some guys that might be hovering. Tyrese Halliburton, right? So now all of a sudden, this is where it messes it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. No disrespect. If you make All NBA, you are a badass man. If you make All NBA, you're a badass man. But let's say there's three or four extra guys that make All NBA that might not have made All NBA before.
Yeah.
What are they going to look for? What dollar amount are they going to look for now? They're going to look for, I made All NBA. I don't care. I played 72 games and I was healthy and I did this. I want that all. And it's like, now you open up another bit of the Pandora's box where you might get guys, instead of getting the top 15, top 17 guys, you start looking further down, as in, let's say top 20 to 30 now have options now for getting that hit all NBA over the course of their contract and getting the Supermax, or wanting more than the regular max, because it's Supermax is the number max. There's still a range that you can do in between it. So that's what I'm saying. Now you get those guys that are starting to look for that, and you're like, are we really going to give X this, this number because he had, no disrespect. Let's say, let's go back a few years. Let's say a guy like Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton hits third team All NBA, and what if he's not asking for the Supermax, but he's asking for damn near? No disrespect again to you get a Tobias Harris number, right? Where it's like this number is elevated. He's still a very, very good player, but is he at that cap space? But if they're in that contract space, what else can you do? So that's where I think they're gonna, other guys might make the money.
Incentives are gonna be hard to get nowadays because a guy who might have a breakout year and just be one good year and be right there on the cusp and make third team All NBA, and now he gets an extra $3 million, and that goes against the team's cap. Or think about shoe deals. Oh, shit. Guess what? Because four or five dudes got hurt and they need centers and forwards, now you got a guy like a non-all-star guy who's going to make all NBA. How about that? I think that's the best way to explain it.
I'm trying to think of a player who's really, really good who – possibly can make an all NBA that in other years, because Joel Embiid is now out.
Jared Allen.
Like a Jared Allen. That he's a great example.
Great.
Very good player. Very good player.
Yeah. But
there's probably outside of the Jokic and Embiid, Giannis, he's in that next tier of centers. That next tier of big men, right? It's a big gap, but I'm saying he's in that next tier of, if you have him, you're set at center for the next 10 years.
What do you think about Porzingis? I mean, he's been a little off and on, Porzingis.
No, but those are the guys. Those are the guys that all of a sudden their value can get jumped up. So I don't know how the cap works. I'm not going to play that game. I'm just saying is that these guys signed the deal, and a lot of people said it was not a very good deal. And now you're starting to see. We just saw how big the in-season tournament was. And I believe it was Draymond that was like, yo, weren't they supposed to get $1 million per player? And you saw how much value that added to the league, how much ratings went up. All the league, it was a huge success for the league. Huge success. They're going to be able to sell the shit out of that. Lakers do all the work. LeBron gets it. That's why when they were talking about possible $1 million prize, that number should have been $1 million, in my opinion. Especially looking back on how well it went and all the stuff and all the buy-in that they got and all. The player should have gotten $1 million. I'm not going to complain about what they got, but yes, that would $1 million for the tournament.
Yeah. Another player within all of these awards, like Donovan Mitchell, I forgot about this one, Jamal Murray.
Oh, shit.
And
yeah.
In a couple of those games, that's the other thing too, a couple of those games, because you have to play 65 games of at least 20 minutes. And he fell below in, I think, three of those games minutes-wise. It was 9 minutes, 10 minutes, 14 minutes, because he got injured. And so you think about someone like him as well.
Right? I had an unnamed coach that said they were going to start playing guys 20 minutes and then just taking them out so that game would count. You mix those games in where it's like, you know.
Yeah.
Again, I'm okay with resting players to a small degree. You get a guy and you want to give him one day off and he's a high usage rate. The resting that was going on for non-All-Stars on sub playoff teams, that was absurd.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
Yeah.
What you need to
That's why the NBA targeted All-Stars. The NBA targeted All-Stars.
I'm not mistaken, I want to stick on this Denver. I was looking for the tweet that I saw yesterday, Denver conversation. Is it more impressive that they're completing the comebacks or, to your point, that they're down?
I think they're playing with fire, personally. You can't – obviously, we've been on some teams where we've got down and we're like, here we go, let's just turn it on. And I think that happens. But once that starts to become, because as many games as you play, that becomes your practice. They're not practicing. You think that team is practicing? Not really. They're trying to stay healthy. They're trying to win a chip. So they won last year. They're coming into the season. They got off to a great start. They're feeling good. They're healthy. All of a sudden, they're playing these teams. And they're like, we could just turn it on. You do that one time. Yeah, we could just turn it on. We could do it 2, 3, 4, 5. Now it's starting to look like a habit. When you get in the playoffs and you're like, we can turn it on. There ain't no just turning it on in the middle of a game like that. It's rare. And it's rare to do that 4 times. Maybe against Toronto or, you know, a regular season Lakers or Charlotte or whoever else. But to do that consistently is a little scary.
No, I agree. They're champions, so I don't necessarily worry about them, but there should still be a question of why are you down 20 that many times? I would say this, if you're a good team, you should be figuring out how to play from ahead, right? Like that is set, you need to be setting the tone, and it sounds like, you know, if just from the 20-point comeback, scoring's at an all-time high, so you could be up 20, down 20. That's like 10 points. 10 points used to be 20 is the new 10. Or yeah. 10 is the new. No, 20 is the new 10.
Yeah, you read it right.
Yeah, 20 is the new 10. So, 20-point comeback, I kid you not. I've watched 4 games with my boys, and it was, 20-something to this. And I was like, no, there's still plenty of time.
Plenty of time.
Plenty of time. We've seen them in the fourth quarter. We've seen players outscore teams in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't think Denver is taking the attitude, we need to beat the crap out of them and then sit in the fourth quarter. They're like, let's chill at the beginning of the game, feel our way around, and then, we'll just turn it on, which is dangerous.
No, we know. We know that there's the fuck around and find out teams. We know that. We were one of them.
Oh.
And both years, the second year was probably worse because we knew we could do it and we knew what it took. I think Denver's in that mold. Of the teams that I questioned, Denver is probably lowest in the top four for obvious reasons.
Okay, speaking of top four, Minnesota, Cat, obviously, surgery to repair a torn meniscus earlier this week. He's expected to return come playoffs. T-Wolves 45-21, vying for the top seed in the West. We talked about the top four seeds last week, actually, on here. Do you think they are a top four without Karl Anthony Towns?
No.
Yeah. Yes.
No.
Yes.
Pick a side. Go.
I'm saying no. I think, again, I have not seen them have extended success. Now, I watched a lot of that Clippers game. Anthony Davis is special. Or Davis, golly. Anthony Edwards is special.
Anthony Davis is special. He's very special.
Right, very special. But, I don't know if I can rely on that during the playoffs. I think moving – Naz Reid is a starter on 28 of 30 teams, right? Maybe 27. When you don't have somebody big you can rely off the bench to give you that versatility – during a regular season, yes, I think you can win a bunch of games. In the playoffs, if you can't even go 7-8 down the bench with, like, you know, how much are you playing slow-mo? How much are you playing some of the other guys you got off the bench? Like, they're not really playing like that. So you're just going to play 6? That's going to wear down on a young team.
I see your point. I think because you have Naz Reid, it allows them to fill the hole for a little bit, right?
Right.
It allows them to kind of plug that gap just for a short amount of time. So everyone was like, why do you sign Naz Reid? You got all this money in your front court. And now all of a sudden, Naz Reid's had a great year.
He's
good. You know what I'm saying? And he's doing that while the bigs have been primarily healthy. So I look at it from this standpoint. They've got, what, 15 games left? Right, so he's got – so let's say the meniscus is – maybe they remove it. He's got to wear a brace. He's out 6 weeks, right? So he's basically out till the start of the playoffs. So if they do play consistent, right, if they just play consistent, and they do. Like, Anthony Edwards is their best player. They still got Rudy Gobert. They still got Mike Conley. They still got McDaniels. They still got Slo-Mo. They still have such a deep roster – right, that, like, yes, losing an all-star is going to hurt them, but ultimately they're young enough, they're a fiery enough team. Like, I think that they can hold down the fort and stay in that top four. It's not like Joel Embiid leaving the 76ers.
Dude,
it's
not
like Tyrese Haliburton missing 20 games, right? Even the reason why the Cavs can withstand Donovan Mitchell is because they still have an all-star in Garland. They still have an all-star in Mobley. They still have, you know, a very, very good young player in Mobley, and then they got Jared Allen. So what I'm saying is, like, collectively they still have – and then, look, it's still taking half-court shots from Strus and from Wade. It's taken some crazy games, but they've held down the fort. So I think Minnesota, they looked good last night. They looked
very good.
Like, the defense that Edwards was playing
was crazy.
And, like, it was just –
Here's the thing, though. They don't lose a step defensively without Karl Anthony Towns. That's just the numbers, and I know it hasn't been a large sample size, obviously. But offensively is where you've lost.
Yeah.
The production goes down with Karl Anthony Towns.
Yes.
Because
the production's gonna go down. They're gonna go down, but you're asking Anthony Edwards, Naz Reid, McDaniels, Conley to up their offensive, like, production for another month. That's what you're just asking. And you have Naz Reid that just fills in there and does very similar things. Like, you know, shoots the ball, can guard out on the perimeter, right?
Maybe he just had 7 threes against the Lakers the other night.
That's what I'm saying. Naz Reid is good. Naz Reid is a very good player. So that's what I'm saying. You can up it. He's a B minus to Karl Anthony Towns, A minus.
We were just having a conversation about this the other day, and not to write LeBron away by any means, but obviously, as we know, in season 21, age 39, how many years does he have left? He's still the face of the NBA. We agree with that?
Yeah.
The NBA and beyond. Can Anthony Edwards be the face of the NBA?
Without a doubt, yes.
He can. He can, based off his production. But look, we were talking earlier. We're all old, well, not Allie, but Channing's old enough to remember, once he stops moving his camera, Channing's old enough to remember when Jordan retired. So look, Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, they were the face of the league. Save the league. They were the face.
Mm-hmm.
They carried the NBA. No one asked who was going to carry that next torch because Jordan was there. They knew that, oh, it's about to be his time. Like, he's that dude. Very similar to Patrick Mahomes when Tom Brady was on his way out. You were like, oh, well, this kid is the future, right? So they didn't have that. They didn't have, like, with Jordan, you knew. They didn't know after Jordan. Everybody was the next Jordan. It was Kobe. It was Grant Hill. It was Harold Miner, baby Jordan. It was like all of these guys, who was going to be next? Because there was no face. And then you got the Allen Iverson, the Kobe Bryants, and the Shaquille O'Neal. Those guys really carried the league, in my opinion, from like a outward-facing space. Fast forward, when LeBron came, everyone was like, oh, it's his. No one asked who was going to be the face of the league when Kobe retired, right? Because if very similar to Magic and Larry, there was already that person was there. It was Michael Jordan. Very similar to Kobe retiring, that person was already there. It was LeBron. Now we're asking that question. Now we're asking that question because no one's here. This hasn't happened since Michael Jordan retired. Isn't that funny? Michael Jordan and LeBron both retiring, and everyone's going, "Oh, well, what the fuck are we gonna do next?" So this is the first time that we've seen this, and there are guys, but it goes back to when Jordan retired. No one had established themselves. Patrick Mahomes established himself before Tom Brady retired. He's the next. You know, LeBron established himself before Kobe retired.
I don't know if any of these kids and young men want that responsibility. They may say they do outwardly. They don't want that, right? After being around LeBron and seeing how he has to live, no thank you. No fucking thank you. Like, let's be real. And I'll start with Luka. Luka, there's no pressure on him to win a chip. They're not talking about his legacy. They're not going to say, oh, he hasn't won a chip in his first 5 years. There's no pressure on him like that. He's not a chosen one. SGA, you've exceeded expectations. You're an MVP candidate. Everything past this is whatever. There's no expectations. You know who has the most expectation? Wemby. Wemby does. More than Jason Tatum, more than Jokic, more than Embiid, more than
any. But you know why? Edwards? But you know why, Channing? You know why? You know why?
Because he's French.
The why is because none of the other guys have taken the mantle.
Yeah.
No one else has taken that mantle.
You got to come in this league ready.
The same thing that Patrick Mahomes did. What did Patrick Mahomes do?
When?
He showed up and went to, four or five straight conference finals. How many Super Bowls? They got three. First back-to-back Super Bowl since who? Tom Brady and the Patriots.
So what's that window for Wemby? How long does he have to prove that he's
on the clock? He's on the clock. The NBA is on the clock.
Oh, he's not on the clock.
LeBron was on the clock when he showed up.
I'm sorry. LeBron was on the clock when he showed up. Fair, I get it. Dating all the way back to high school, I understand that. Having said that, he didn't make the postseason his first year. So is that what we're saying for Wemby? You have this 1 year. If you're not in the post, about the layers of being on the clock and what that.
Well, means. I'm saying if we're talking about the face of the league, it's not statistics. It means you show up and you have a profound impact on the court, off the court. You are winning. You are Derek Jeter. You are Patrick Mahomes. You are one of these guys that show up and you fucking win. And we have not seen anything like it. Wemby has the talent. We didn't, even when LeBron first came into the league, he wasn't this 6'9.5" behemoth. He was 6'7" and change and 230 pounds. And he grew into a fucking grown man. Like, no one knew he was going to be as tall, as big, as strong, as fast. No one knew that. It was work. It was all the other things. I say all that to say is that people throw around this face of the league like it's just who's going to be the next best player. It's far greater than that. Steph is the face. And they know Steph, and it's like Giannis has won multiple MVPs, won his championship. You wouldn't call he's one of the guys, but you wouldn't call him the face. Same with Jokic, you wouldn't call him the face.
You know what's a great example? Tim Duncan is one of the most winningest players ever to play basketball. Right? Good dude, quiet, one team guy, middle America, was not the face of the league. Didn't want no parts of, as much as it is winning, is as much as it is, you put this league on your back when you go out into the media and the public and you represent the other players to build up our game. Jokic just wants to come, play basketball, go back to his country and go home.
No complaints.
That's fine. Anthony Edwards is still figuring out who he is, right? And how hard, and he talked about it. When he was on the Olympics, he was like, I didn't know that stuff worked out that hard. And you're like, yeah, motherfucker, like this shit is different. And so he's learning, and he's 22. So there is time, but at the end of the day, it's not just about winning, even though it's the most important thing. It's also about the visual. It's also about how you speak. It's also about how people perceive you. It is almost half as political as it is basketball-wise. Braun is
People are throwing it around as if it's just you come in and you're a very good player No, man, it's so transcendent. It's so transcendent. It is so like Larry. They're the names. It's Russell. It's Bird. It's Magic. It's Jordan. You know, it's Kobe, LeBron. Like, they're just certain names. Are we gonna be able to just say Edwards?
So it's fair to say.
No, okay. I'm not. There's no disrespect. We might in 6 years. But I'm saying that's where we have to get. We have to just be able to say one word and people know. Grandmas and great grandkids know who the hell we're talking about.
Yeah. Shaq. Like,
Shaq.
Yeah.
Vince.
What?
Like,
Ja.
Yeah, no, we're on the same page. I just think people throw it around like it's not just the best player in the league. Like, there's other guys that have been the best player in the league. LeBron hasn't won an MVP since he was in Miami. Right? He hasn't won an MVP since he was in Miami. And he's been the face of the league for the last 15 years. So it's like...
safe to say we don't know who the next face
is. Exactly.
Well, think about this.
Basically, is what we're saying.
The reason why we're asking is because for the first time since Michael Jordan retired, there wasn't a defined next person. Kobe hadn't established that yet. Shaq hadn't established that yet.
Yeah.
So it was like there wasn't a defined
guy. In a sense, it's scary.
What?
It's scary.
It is scary. For the media, it's scary. For the league, it's scary. This is one of the very few transitional phases. Michael was there when Magic and Larry moved on. They gave him the mantle. MJ held the mantle, and then everybody was like, what the fuck are we going to do when this guy retires? And then Shaq and Kobe came. They figured it out. Then, you know, but Shaq and Kobe, then Shaq was the face, or Shaq and Kobe were the face of this league for years. Even think about a guy like D-Wade. D-Wade showed up, won a championship in his third year. He was one of the guys. Now, was he able to elevate to the Michael Jordan, LeBron status? No. But he was one of those guys where early on you're like, well, fuck. This dude won a championship in what, his third year? Fourth year?
Think about...
want to find his MVP?
Think about how good Steph is if he's not the face of the league.
Steph is not the face.
Totally.
But it's Steph and LeBron. I would say LeBron. Yeah. It's LeBron and Steph and everyone else. That's why they're confirmed. That if LeBron was going to retire and Steph was, if this was 2015 Steph, everyone would know, oh, it's his next.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Right? But... if you know, but LeBron and Steph are, oh, looks like they're going to go out within
at the same damn time.
At the same damn time. That's not that. That's like Magic and Larry. Magic and Larry going out scared people, but Jordan was already there.
Yeah.
Great conversation. Moving on. Having said that, here we go again. Kawhi Leonard left the game last night against the T-Wolves with back spasms. He has played in 58 of 64 games this year. It's been his healthiest season as a Clipper. They ended up losing, though, by 18 to the T-Wolves after leading 57-35 in the second quarter. Then, obviously, you lose Kawhi. Do you think that when you hear this, I don't know about you guys, but when I saw it on the internet last night, on Twitter last night, Kawhi leaving the arena, barely moving, obviously dealing with the back spasms. Uh-oh. Is this a turn for them?
No.
You absolutely better shut his shit down.
No, it's bad. No, come on, guys.
Your back is half your body.
But I'm saying, if you played 58 of 66 games, you might have back spasms. You might wake up one day after a long flight to Minnesota and slept wrong, and he's not young anymore. It's different when it's knee pain.
It was in LA.
But I'm just saying, it's like, good point. Maybe you had a long flight back from someplace else. My point is more of back spasms to something. It's like, oh, okay, we just need to rest you for a little bit. Back spasms go away in 3-4 days. It's just, we didn't say that he's in traction. It's not like back surgery. He just had back spasms. And that, if you're playing a lot, you're putting a lot of wear and tear, you know, shit's going to happen. I don't view this as anything like alarming.
I got back spasms at the All-Star game. I will tell you this. Dude, I went to go pick up my wine luggage and like it got jostled and then I had to sit on a plane for 3.5 hours. Dude, I had to go to a chiropractor at the airport because I couldn't stand upright. I was like So, like, I get how he's feeling, and Richard makes great points. I'm not worried about it. I think what Kawhi has done, and to know T. Lou for as long as I have, which is not that long at all, I could say he goes, yeah, now that I said that, you would say this. You would say, hey, Kawhi, dog, we're fourth right now. We're good. Like, yeah. If you need two or three games, let's make sure that you're coming back perfect. You've already shown us that you are roaring ready to go. The Clippers,
yeah, back spasms to me is
wear and tear.
A sprained ankle is bad. Knee inflammation is bad. Back spasms, that's just like, motherfucker, you old and you a little tired. That's all that is.
And they're in fourth, four games out of seventh. So they got a little bit of a cushion. Two games ahead of New Orleans.
Look, they're in Minnesota is right above them.
Half a game.
Yeah, so you're like, dog.
In third, yeah.
Minnesota's gonna trick away some games.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay. Changed my mind. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Friend of the show, Magic head coach Jamal Mosley. Shout out. Congratulations to you, Jamal, signing a 4-year contract extension. Takes him through 2027, 2028.
He got to take us out, and I don't want no vegetarian food either. I don't want none of them Brussels sprouts bullshit.
Yeah, you don't eat. Yeah.
Because of all that vegetarian food, he runs circles around the both of you.
True.
Have I not
done this? Literally.
But when we buy this dinner, we want a steak.
Steaky.
Yeah.
Dude, I cannot wait.
How much you making? What was the deal terms?
You're so.
I'm curious.
Put a business out.
Look it up.
In Orlando with no taxes?
They know how much we make.
Huh? They don't know how much I make.
I'm saying they know how much athletes make. Why are we trying to hide a coach?
I just didn't put it in there.
Hey, he getting that tax free too in Orlando? I see he's gonna be at Iowa work soon. I know it.
Extension.
They often don't report the money. That's why I'm telling
you. Yeah, it just says 4 years. Oh, and then you're having me over here looking for it.
Allie, you need glasses, girl.
Why? I have contacts.
Oh. Color contacts? Weirdo.
No, you wish. These are my natural eyes. I have the one eye that's like green and blue.
No, you don't. Allie, I've known you for 10 years. No, you
don't. I'm sorry. I don't have green and blue. It's the one where I have green eyes with the hazel dot, like the one actress.
I'm never that close to actresses.
Have you ever noticed that about me, though?
Nope.
Rude. All right.
New here.
What?
I said, hey, he's new here.
Are the Magic on the right trajectory? I feel like they are. Having said that, can you build as a title contender around Paolo and Franz Wagner?
No.
I wish they had one more top. If they could get one more top five pick.
Dude,
they can
what?
Get one more top.
Ricky, how about this? Give me this. Let's say you have the Magic. And you could pick.
No pun intended.
You could do a little magic on the Magic. Could you imagine? I would like to pair a guy like Paolo with a guy like Jalen Brunson, right? I just don't think they have a true. If they can get a all-star level guard and some shooters, Paolo is going to explode. I think Franz is great. I think that they are a bit repetitive at what they do. One of them needs to
How about this? How about this? How about this? How about this? Let me give you a counterpoint. Are they the front court version of a young Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown?
Yeah, but no, because neither one of them can shoot, right?
Neither one of who?
Franz and Paolo are not good three-point shooters, where Jason Tatum came in.
But I'm saying they're still young. Let's pull up the numbers.
I will.
You guys. I'm not disagreeing with. I'm just saying is that maybe the formula is different. You're right. They need a guard. They need some guards, right? They need some guards that. And I'm not saying that they don't have young good guards, right? What I'm saying is that if you're talking about an all-star guard with two big, they're repetitive. But Paolo guards wings. Right, he guards wing players. He's not just guarding fours and fives. Like he's a 3-4. Like I would say he's kind of, don't beat me up, but he's kind of like a Carmelo.
So Franz, 20 points a game, 6 boards, 4 assists, shoots 30% from 3.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't shoot a lot of them, but he's good, very good.
To your point, I can give you those numbers. He attempts 5 a game. He's 2 of 5. 1.5 makes on 4.9 attempts.
That's right. Keep him honest. That's a keep him honest.
Yeah. No, that's a keep him. But this is what I'm saying. Like But I'm saying he's still young. If he gets that up to 35%,
Paolo, right? Like, is averaging 23 a game, 7 boards, 5 assists, shoots 36%.
Wait, that's what I'm saying. What is he shoot? 6? Maybe 6?
No, but I'm saying, no. I'm not disputing that they need improved shooting.
1.5 on 4.2 attempts.
Oh, so what I'm saying is that if Paolo can get himself up to 38, 38, 39, and Wagner can get himself up from whatever 30. To 34,
right.
34%. 35, right? So I only say that to say is that they are still so young where you could see those increases in their game. So if you have 2 good front court players like that, you like rebounding, assisting, doing everything, they're actual matchup nightmares because you put a big on them and the motherfuckers just go right by them, do all that shit. You put a small on them, they go in the post. They're both big, strong, and physical and aggressive. So they are both matchup problems. So what I'm saying is that those 2 guys, could you build around them? I think if you had a loaded roster like Boston does, I could see in 3-4 years them being a version of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. If you told me Paolo was averaging 28 and Franz was averaging 23, and you know what I'm saying? Like, I could
see. You're already a top 5 defense.
Dude, they are so big in person.
That's what I'm saying.
All their whole team is big, but they're all big. Okay, I said this before. You know who I think is an immediate help that is probably not going to leave anywhere? If Klay Thompson was on this team, I think it would help them immensely. Leadership, shooting, consistency, moving without the ball, just his ability to play the game. Now, I'm saying in theory, obviously he's a little older, but a player that can move around like that, that's generally a 2-way guard, but that can shoot the shit out of the ball and just get them to play 4 and 5 once or twice.
They're very similar to OKC, in my opinion, where they're ahead of schedule because these guys are really good. They're ahead of schedule. That, you know, they don't have as much depth because don't forget, OKC got a pick and got a 2nd round pick. Or already had the number 2 pick in check come. So it was like they were, and they have all these assets. Orlando doesn't have the amount of assets. But I'm saying is that, like, they're ahead of schedule. And I think these dudes, the key thing is you got to keep them together for 3 to 5 more years. And that's the part where it's like you got to tinker, you got to figure it out. But, yeah, if you just like, oh, we got a 2-year window. These dudes are both, like, Paolo's in his second year averaging that. Come on, man. Come on now.
He's huge. Like, he's a tall boy. He's a big
dude. That's what I'm saying. He's like Carmelo. Like, people don't understand how big and strong and physical Carmelo would play. And I think USA Basketball helped him a ton.
Oh, a ton.
Yeah, USA Basketball helped him a lot.
I honestly hope they bring him back.
Yeah, he. You could tell, like, from the defense, from the intensity, from the everyday, like you, and you get some criticism. They didn't play great. They didn't, so you recognize, like, there's criticism that's going to come from being on that stage. I think that's valuable for young players to understand. Paolo goes to USA Basketball, does well, learning, picks it all up, playing with these great players, seeing work habits, and then next thing you know, you guys don't play great, and there's criticism. That's very similar to going to the playoffs, not playing well, and losing, you know, being up 2-1 and losing the playoff series. That shit should stay with you and motivate you. And I think you can, but it's also positive to learn that, like, oh, shit, with this type of attention and intensity and playing this way every single night.
Can the Magic win around? Right now, it's the Knicks and Magic.
Nah, they're not winning that one.
Not if the Knicks. If the Knicks are healthy, if they don't have Julius Randle, I think they can. If they don't have Julius Randle, if it's Brunson,
Hart, OG.
And OG, and like I think they can win that round without Randle because Randle can negate some of the physicalness and he's so strong and physical, he can negate from Franz or from Paolo. I think that kind of offsets one of them. But if it's those two physical boys, and Brunson will be a stud, I don't dispute that. But, you know, they got bodies to throw at Brunson too.
Jamal, see all these guys, do you? They demand a steak dinner and then don't even pick you to render, win a
round. I said yes. Yeah, the Knicks were
you got like the check already. Don't worry about
you said if Julius Randle's not, you said with, you said no. If Julius Randle's not out there, yes.
Allie.
No, I'm saying Mitchell I think they can Robinson, win that round. If Julius Randle's out there, that's OG, a tough round.
Yeah.
You guys, I was just kidding.
We know they took out the Mitchell and Darius Garland and all them boys last night. I'm not picking Paolo on them yet. They are ahead of schedule.
Having said that, it is that time of the show. Give us your top players from last week. These are our Under Armour Game Changers of the Week. Which players or coaches impressed you the most?
Channing's going first.
I mean, I know we kind of shit on them earlier, but the Denver Nuggets are 9-1. Like, we're have high expectations for them, but you're like, dude, you're 9-1. They're cooking, like they're just rolling on all cylinders. And the one thing that I appreciate is like they don't get enough credit for their young player development. Their young guys coming off the bench are making veteran pro player plays, and not like they're getting 20 points. That's not their job, but they come in. And their team goes on a 6-0 run, 8-0 run. And when you watch the little chess match that goes on, coach can go pretty deep down that roster and get guys that are contributing. So the Denver.
Yeah, you know, I was leaning towards our guy, Trigger Trey. But I think Trey Murphy and the Pelicans, they're playing well.
Ooh, Trey, I just saw that fool.
Yeah. I think they're playing well. I think for a young player, and to be, you know, have, you know, an injury and have to deal with that and then trying to, you know, regain your rhythm. I think it took a little bit. But when he plays well, they play well. I was watching the Hoop Collective. Shout out Windhorst. And they were just talking about the numbers that when he plays well versus when he plays well versus their team. And it's like, his 15th best games, they're 14-1, and in his 9 worst games, they're 2-7, and he's been playing well. And again, those numbers are purely made up. It was something along those lines.
Oh, sure. You really had some numbers.
No. It was something along those lines. But if there was like, well, now it's 13-2, and it's like, guys, it's I'm paraphrasing here. And so, when you look at that, I think he is a player that was making those jumps. And I think he's only going to get more consistent as the season goes along. And as we go into the postseason, I think he's going to be more consistent. So, no, I like the Pelicans. I like what they're doing. They're also another team that needs to win a round, in my opinion. Cleveland needs to win a round. I think
we'll get into that in 1 second. Hold, please. Road Trippin's Game Changers of the Week are sponsored by Under Armour. Do your thing. Change the game. Curry 11 Future Curries are available now at currybrand.com. Continue. Cleveland needs to win a round.
No, I think Cleveland needs to win a round.
The most person in the league who needs to win a round is fucking Cleveland. It's not even close.
That's fair. That's fair. But who's second? That's what I'm trying to think who else is in that space. You kind of want to say Minnesota. The Kangs.
But I mean, they're not awful. They're not great, but they're consistent. Sabonis is having a career year. Like, but everyone's like, oh, okay, it's just the Kings. Which is crazy. I mean, the Clippers.
I want to know your biggest. I want to know.
Oof.
Is it the Clippers though?
No, I'm talking about the.
I think the Clippers is like get to the final.
The Clippers are under pressure.
Yeah. I want to know your biggest threat to Denver. Biggest threat.
Clippers.
It's a great.
Clippers are one.
How about a healthy Suns team?
Yeah, but
yeah.
Right now, I trust. Weirdly, this is a compliment. I trust the Clippers being healthy down the stretch right now more than I do the Phoenix Suns. The Clippers have had more health this year, not traditionally, but this year. So if you were to ask me which team do I think is going to be healthy enough to make it through and to do... I think right now I would say the Clippers. They got the bodies, they got the perimeter, they got the depth, they can play different styles. They got lots of guys. They're not dependent on one or two. Even if two of their guys have an off night, they got Dwight Powell. Zubac can lift them up. Coffey's been playing well. You know, you got Terrence Mann. So I just think that they've got guys that can lift up if one or two of the guys are having an off night, or, you know, Paul George is struggling a little bit. Norman Powell might hit a bunch of threes, you know, and just carry them through a first half. Like, I forgot the game just a little bit ago where Paul George had 2 points in the first half and then ends up with 20.
You know what's crazy? And this just came to my head. Playoff Dallas. I think who's Denver? Who's going to guard Luka? Is my question. And then
Dallas is your biggest threat to Denver?
I would say sleeper pick to Denver. I just think stylistically, they both play through one player, right? And Denver doesn't have an answer for Luka, and Luka is different in the playoffs. And Dallas doesn't have an answer for Jokic, but they do have three big men that are athletic and energetic, and I would say would take on that challenge. So they are not loaded. They are deep at that position.
Wait, but her question was, who's the biggest threat, not who is the sleeper?
So I'm like, I can't let you go on saying that, Channing.
I don't really see anybody.
You just don't want to agree with me in the Clippers. You just don't want to agree with me. That's all it is. You just doesn't want
to
agree.
I'm trying to give you your moment.
Philadelphia, healthy Philly.
Let's end with this. How many statues will LeBron James get when it's all said and done?
Three.
You think he'll get a statue with the Lakers?
What? Yeah, stop it.
Yeah.
If his career were to end right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Without winning another title.
You got to understand. Okay.
We will get a statue with the Lakers.
So hear me out. You win a championship. You win a finals MVP. You win the first ever in-season tournament. You break the scoring record. And you're the first to score 40,000 points. All in a Lakers uniform. Fuck out of here. Don't put that statue up for that, man.
Hopefully they spell people's names right.
Yeah, I saw that.
Hey, I text Jose Calderon. I said, who the hell is Calderson? Who the hell is Calderson? How do you fix that? You can't wipe that out.
No, they'll just they'll just replace that side of it. It's not like one whole piece.
You see somebody there just like shaving it down, like,
yeah.
Okay, so you guys really think that he's going to get one with it?
Well, look at all those things. Again, he led the league in assists. Like, he did a bunch of things. In my opinion, like, does he have the five championships? No. But when you look at what he did in a, what are we now, six year stretch?
Yeah.
With Bron?
Yeah. Yeah. So in a 6 year stretch.
Let me ask a question. What type of unnatural expectations? I know you're the Lakers. I know he's LeBron. If you were to take any player, right? Okay, let's say KD goes to Phoenix and he wins a chip in his first 6 years, breaks all these records, and then retires. You think Phoenix is not going to get him a statue? You're tripping.
Phoenix isn't the Lakers.
Let me say one last thing.
He gets a statue.
Let me say one last thing. He picked them. He picked the Lakers. He chose them. So if you want to send a message to all of the great free agents that you have gotten, as Shaq picked the Lakers, left Orlando, picked the Lakers, right? When you start looking at this, you want to looking forward to all of the great players over the next generations. If you pick us and you succeed, this is one of, you can be immortalized. Now, that's not for every player. That's not for every player. That is for the select few that you can be a part of this greatness. You want to send that message to the next Wimby. If you pick LA, right? If you do that, this is what you can get. This is what can be there. So it is not only just for now, it's for the legacy, and no different than people are coming, and we know this to be truthful. While this might not have been the best phase of his career, while he might not have been, you know, young LeBron in Cleveland or Miami, people will come see a LeBron statue. People will come. That's what I'm saying. It's like He is. He's not to L.A. what Kobe is to L.A., but he is to the game of basketball like very few people are and have ever been. So you put that up there, he is immortalized as a Laker great. His jersey's going to be up there.
Oh, yeah.
His jersey's going to be retired in three places. And
you guys both agreed that Kyrie should have his jersey retired with the Cavs?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
not a doubt.
Not even. Yeah.
You, right. You win the first championship and hit the biggest shot of all time.
Stop it.
Aldridge. Channing, I cannot with you. We're ending on this. Aldridge, Curry, Harden, Millsap, Griffin, Durant, Irving. What do they all share?
No idea.
Well, hold on. Durant, Aldridge. Don't they have like more than 20,000 points or something like that?
Telling your kids the 2021-2022 Nets had all of these last names on one team is going to be wild to look back on.
Yeah. They were loaded. If it went for that sprained ankle.
Oh, shit. I wasn't even thinking about that.
After a sprained ankle.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Isn't that wild?
No, but you know what's crazy, too? And I know that the Phoenix Suns aren't as good, at, didn't have as much. But it's like, we gonna just gloss over the fact that Kawhi, like James Harden and Paul George are playing together, or Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and Kevin Durant are playing together. I understand it's not Brooklyn. There was more like sub talent, but if we're talking about top three names, and they got Russell Westbrook on the Clippers, like that's what I'm saying. Like people want to shit on the Nets for that, understandably so. I'm not even coming to the defense of the Nets. I'm just merely saying is that we've got some other groups of guys that are together that when we look back at it, we're gonna be like, yo, what the hell?
No, that is fair. Yeah. I hear you.
They're like the old school Houston Rockets with Hakeem, Barkley, and Pippen.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wild. All right. Channing, go move all your houses.
Bye.
Just work.
Richard, thanks for being on time today.
Richard, thank you.